I would like to greet all of you very warmly, especially, of course, those who perhaps are here for the first time. And we hope that it will not be for the last time, but that God can speak to every heart and through His Word and through His Spirit, accomplishing that for what He has sent His Word. I have to give you greetings from brethren who have written to us. Especially, I was overwhelmed to read the letters of the brothers where I was in February, especially from Korea, and the brother who had the responsibility for this large meeting, he wrote not much, but very meaningful, he wrote. He wrote, "Brother Frank, the sermon touches me. I can't get it out of my mind. But not only me, but all who heard it. When are you coming again? But please, then for a couple of days." Similar letters have come. And I was comforted, I was edified, being aware of that the divine message had to be carried, has to be carried unto the ends of the earth, so that the last ones are called out, and so that the number gets full, and so that the Lord can return to take His own home. At Easter, we had in Krefeld blessed meetings. Around 200 people we accommodated in the mission buildings, and the rest was accommodated privately. There were days of blessing, which probably all will not forget who were there. It's a wonderful time on one hand and a terrible time on the other hand. Glorious for all who are ordained for glory, but before it goes up, it has to go through some valleys. We have sung it in the song, "I always look home to the eternal glory, where my crown is waiting, and also the victory garment. My heart is full of longing to enter the pearly gates, and with a blessed flock to stand before God's throne." If this is in your heart like this, that you have a longing to enter there, that you have a deep longing in your heart, then there is a place for you prepared. If you are here homesick, then there is your home. If you feel at home here, and if you don't want to go from here, then one would have to ask oneself the question whether our home in this case is up there. May God use these simple thoughts to speak to our hearts. It's not always the cocky speeches, but from heart to heart, God wants to speak with us, showing us what it is all about. Here, this we confess with Abraham and with all the saints. Here we have no remaining home, but we seek the future home which the Lord has prepared for us by His grace. I may never forget it here. On the last Israel trip, something touched me. We have sung the chorus which we just tuned in right now. Glory, glory, hallelujah. And Brother Goldner, our tour guide, tuned in, and also the bus driver, they were tuning in, and I was so surprised. And then I asked, listen, how come that you have sung with us? And then he says, since 1948, since the day of the foundation of our state, this chorus was sung over and again in our language, in the Hebrew language. And then we have also sung this chorus in Hebrew. The thought came to me, the people of Israel, from all the world they were gathered, and on the day of independence, on the day when they became an own state, they have sung this chorus. So to say, it's the symbol of the independence. After the opening of the seven seals, Brother Branham tuned in this song. After the opening of the seven seals, the Spirit of God was leading him to sing this chorus. And we notice it, and we find out the truth is marching on. It cannot be stopped anymore. As sure as naturally God took care of that His natural people was gathered and was planted in their own land, so sure God is taking care of that all His own are led into the divine promises for this time. And we also can sing here, glory, glory, hallelujah. What then also touches me is the following thought. Year in, year out, we could experience it, how the land of the divine promise becomes green and is flourishing. And here the following stood out to me. God has given back the land to His people, but not that the people lay their hands into their laps, but that they get to work to reclaim land, sowing, harvesting, watering. And there it really stood out to me. We cannot lay our hands into our laps. God called us for collaboration so that His word is fulfilled through us. When the prophet Isaiah says, the wilderness will flourish, and there where thorns, there cypress trees will grow. Then I ask you, who planted the cypress trees? The people who returned. They, out of the wilderness, they made a paradise. And when the people say proudly, in our country we harvest three or four times from the same field various fruits, then my heart rejoices. It's the land which God promised. But once again being emphasized, the collaboration which God called back is necessary so that the promise can be fulfilled in their land through them. The same it is with the church of the living God. We cannot lay our hands into our laps and saying, God promised and everything will be well. No. Right, because God promised, we must get to work. And therefore, we sow the precious seed of the revealed word. And as the prophet says at one place, don't sow among the thorns, but plow on a new field, break up your untilled ground. And this may God give us to all of us by his grace, that we sow this precious divine seed, not into the thorns, but that we break up a new ground, plowing on a new field, sowing the precious seed on it. Our God does something new, and therefore we must plow something new to be able to sow the new seed into it. Many things could be said, but God will surely, through this hour, he will lead us through. We will put our trust in him. Pardon me, my heart was just a bit touched, and I hope that all our hearts are also touched. Because who are we that God has called us out, that he received us, accepted us, that he saved us, pardoning us, and that we can be his inheritance for eternity. Whoever ponders on this in his heart cannot do otherwise but to express deep gratitude, saying, Lord, who am I? Yesterday, on the way back from Lausanne, I of course had the privilege to be at the wedding feast of the oldest son of our brother and sister Barrier. And I returned by train, and I saw this wonderful country, Switzerland. I looked over the vineyards, over the sea, and it spoke to my heart. God made everything so wonderfully. Nothing is missing. Rivers are here. Mountains are here. The seas are there. The lakes. And then I roasted myself. What I said there on this journey, this I don't want to repeat here. But one thing I may emphasize. After judging myself and after self-condemnation, there came a deep peace which is higher than all understanding of men into my heart. And I can tune in with the songwriter, when peace like a river attendeth my way, then my heart is jubilating. The peace of God is like a river which wants to flow, and whoever has it will bring peace and will make peace wherever he might go. Now, let us read from the prophet Isaiah, just briefly a couple of verses. From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 45, here I would like to read from verse 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. Then from verse 21, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. Here, two thoughts are touching me. The first one, I have not spoken in secret. And the second, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye nations. God did not speak in secret. Paul writes, if the gospel is hidden, then with for those who are lost. But for us, who we are saved, the word of the cross is the power of God. When the speaking of God in these last days is hidden, then to those people who are lost, who get lost, who are bypassing God, but all who are ordained for salvation, them will God lead, and they will hearken to his voice. Turn unto me, ye nations, and all the ends of the earth. For a word has gone forth from my mouth. Thus saith the Lord, in his word. How grateful we can be that a word of God, a word of the Lord, in these last days has gone forth. And we time and again said it. It is the last speaking of God. It is the calling out of the church of the Lord, which must be brought unto completion. Today, a very special thought touches me, and this is the following. We have seen the revelation of God in Christ. We have heard it. We received and accepted, and it didn't remain hidden to us that Christ is the visible manifestation of God on earth. The manifestation of Jesus Christ was unveiled to us. It was shown to us. The revelation. Now, it goes one step further. Now, we want to deal with the manifestation of Christ in His church. It's not enough to know that God has revealed Himself in Christ. This belongs to it. This is the beginning. It's also not enough to believe and to know that God has sent a prophet to call out the church. This belongs to it. This is the beginning. And if the beginning is not right, then the end can also not be right. It must. From the very beginning on, it must be right. And it can only be right if it comes from God. And if it comes from God, then we will be brought in conformity with God, namely through His Word and through His Spirit. The message which was brought agrees with all the testimony of the Holy Scripture. And I think there's no one who could take himself the right saying, here, Brother Branham said, so and so, this I cannot accept properly. Let me say here very clearly, every inner rebellion in your and my heart towards the speaking of the Lord is a sign of stubbornness in your soul toward God and toward His Word. Perhaps it may sound a bit hard, but it is time that it is being said, everyone who is of God heareth God's word. And if the Lord sends a prophet, then of course to speak through his mouth to us. Out of this reason, all the prophets could say, thus saith the Lord. And the thus saith the Lord must be valid for us as the thus says the Lord. And we have to receive it in this way. In former times, everyone could have had his own private interpretations. And this also was shown to us at the Wailing Wall. It became clear to us. I wished that one day I get the Talmud into my hands, making a copy of one page of it. And some, it would tell more than 100-page sermon. You all know, the Jews are reading a tiny verse from the Torah, from the five books of Moses, and it's written in the Talmud 2 centimeters high and perhaps 5 centimeters in width. On top, left, right, down are then written the interpretations of the rabbis. And you can imagine, all brothers who were also present at this time, how we felt in our hearts. There are people who are reading with all their heart, but the verse from the scripture is totally, it's down. Because the scribes have set their opinion left, right, top and bottom. Those who read, for him the verse, I don't even know whether they read the actual verse. Then the people are deepening themselves into all the interpretations, left and right. Beloved, The time has come for the time is over for the church. Not to have something like a Talmud as the evidence, but a true leading back to the Word of God. No more interpretations, top, bottom, left and right. No, no interpretation anymore, but only the revealed Word of God, revealed by the Holy Spirit in this last time. It's written, I have not spoken in secret, not in a dark place of the earth. This is something wonderful. I say once again, to whom it remains hidden, him God didn't open his eyes yet. Who of you has read the sermon, the church and its condition? Is this not a mighty sermon? I can tell you, I not only translated it, I once again read it, and it touched my heart. God speaks to his church, and whoever has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, he will hear and listen. He will take his marker, and he will mark and he will underline things there, namely all that what is of special significance. God has a church which as the pillar and foundation of the truth is here on this earth. This church shall be made a blessing. Through the church, the work of God shall find continuation. And how nicely Brother Branham says it, everything what God was poured into Christ. And everything what was Christ was poured out into the church. What shall we then be? Who should be we be then? In what kind of way should then God reveal himself through you and through me, testify of himself? Not only with the lips, and I'm grateful to God for the balanced end-time message. I said it last Wednesday evening in Krefeld. There was a certain reason for it. And I expressed this thought. In a sermon, dear brother, says, ye who you emphasize the gifts, be careful if you don't have the word. Then you can speak with tongues of men and of angels. Then you can cast out devils. Then you can prophesy. Then you can do all kinds of things. But at the end, you are lost. This he said, and this is correct. But if then now somebody thinks to just can be gleefully and say, oh, this doesn't apply to me, then Brother Branham says, many times to the believers, the Lord promised these following signs. And if they don't follow you, then you are not a believer. And then the being gleeful stops right there. Then we go in us and we say, Lord, my God, have we just a form of godliness? Have we only an intellectual faith? Or have we your word? And are we true believers? The church of the Lord must come to the point that everything what is a hindrance is put away forever. And that we become one heart and one soul. I'm waiting for this day. And if we have become one heart and one soul, then I believe that God's word will find confirmation. Through the proclamation of the revealed word, the living faith was laid into us. But if one is always obstructed and have to deal with things which burden someone and make up a hindrance, then one cannot walk forward in the battle. Not that what comes from the outside to us, all the arrows, but that what is in us and amongst us, this paralyzes us. And on Wednesday, after a long time, I really felt otherwise. And a beloved brother came to me and said, there a rumor goes around. And I just could say, until now, I never met a rumor. Until this day, not. Did you ever meet a rumor? Did you ever meet a tattle? I never seen a rumor before me. I never seen a tattle before me. I just saw people who were spreading rumors. I just saw people who speak all kinds of things. But if somebody says there's a rumor going around, then this is not true. It's people who are going around, who are spreading a rumor. Do you see what's all about? And if somebody says there's a tattle going around, no. There are people go around who speak. And once for all, we must understand for what God has called us out for. To make life difficult for us, to make hindrances, or that we stand as one man. And I was thinking to that what Brother Branham said. He said literally, everyone in the church has the task to stand before the shepherd and to protect him, keeping all harm away from him. Do we understand what's all about? Whoever is in the front line, he's hit the first. But when all who really are part of the church, when they stand behind them whom God has sent, then it doesn't even come through to them. Then they absorb it. Then they stop it. This is then like a tank trap. And to this we must come. But when in one's own rows there's treason and slander, what shall then happen? Then God cannot manifest himself, beloved. I don't speak of myself in my own matter. If I would do this, I would have to present my program to you. I have no program. I have the responsibility before God. Not that I wanted it, or not that I was asked for it. By the divine decision, I had to take the responsibility now to carry the divine message. And that all the attacks are aimed at me. For me, when I really think about it, this is the best sign. If this would not be the case, then I should be deeply worried how it is about all the matter. But I want to also know then that I'm amongst friends, amongst brothers, amongst sisters, amongst people on whom God and I can rely on. And I believe I am amongst those people this afternoon. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. If you understood this fully, it's of course written in 2 Chronicles 20:20. We all know it. Believe in God and believe his prophets and so forth. Then you shall be established and prosper. We must understand that the enemy wants to destroy the confidence and the trustworthiness. When the trustworthiness and the confidence is destroyed, then man cannot achieve anything anymore until the end of his life. Then he can just resign and say, Lord, take whomever you want. What did the angel of the Lord tell Brother Branham right at the first time in May 1946? If you get the people to believe you, then nothing will withstand your prayer, not even the cancer. If we are really convinced that God has sent a message, let us then use the remaining short time that we are so tightly joined together with one another and with God, that the enemy does no more succeed to penetrate and to cause damage, but that we become one heart and one soul. Do you know? God always stood before them whom he has sent. And if there was something to rebuke, then he did it personally. If there was something to complain about, he did it. We're not servants of men, but servants of God. And we have the right to be rebuked by the one who gave the commission. And you know very, very well, God to a Moses in a situation where everything would have agreed with Miriam and Aaron. There would not have been one amongst all the people who would have said what God has said. Let us be honest. Now we are not speaking to the empty chairs, but we are speaking to those who are sitting on the chairs. If this would have been your situation and my situation, we would have said the same, what Miriam said, what Aaron said, the same we would have done. And what did the Lord God do? He came down in the pillar of fire. And the first what he asked, or what he said, if a prophet is amongst you, then I reveal myself to him through visions and so forth. But with my servant Moses, it was not like this. With him, I spake face to face. Him I commissioned, him I sent. And the wrath of God was poured out, and the leprosy was visible. Moses had to pray for them, to intercede, so the healing took place again. All of us, we are judging differently if then God would judge. You can search the whole Bible. What would you say about Samson? How many sermons were preached about him? And if I would just read you two verses of it, then I'm convinced. If I would not tell you anything where it is written, you would not go to sleep until you have read it in the Bible, whether this is really written in the Holy Scripture. Shall we take a chance today? One day we have to speak clearly with one another. And I'm convinced on my inside, more than ever before, that we not can play any longer. The time is far spent and we have to fulfill a task before God. And this task must be carried out, namely by the overall church of the living God. One alone cannot achieve anything. Just imagine, Brother Branham would have been sent and God would not have sent him the people who should hear his message. I noted down two things here because I was very touched on my inside. And out of this touching, shall I tell you where it is written? Perhaps it's better. But I would say, in Judges, I read Judges. I like the word Judges very much. The book of Judges doesn't mean that everyone is allowed to judge. If somebody judges, then God. Here it's written. Chapter 13, the last verse. You can read it your own. I read the second last. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now I read you verse 4, Judges 14. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. We, as people, as I said, we would judge. And we have the function as judges. We learned this function already. Very good. We are better than with all other things. Yes. Here, a man who was announced by the angel of the Lord. And you know what the Lord said when he gave this announcement in chapter 13, verse 5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Earthly speaking, we would say, oh my God, what happened there? But whoever is pardoned spiritually to judge certain things, he will remain silent and say, Lord, what do you plan? What do you want to do? What is it all about at this occasion? And God will give us grace that we also take it to heart in this time, in that moment where everyone finds his place, then the whole purpose of God is fulfilled. How often, Brother Branham showed the sisters their place, and outwardly they took it, but the longer arm, with all the revelations, with all kinds of suggestions, with all what goes with it, although when one didn't see it something always penetrated and came through. And God doesn't want this anymore. Absolutely not. God wants to rule over his servants as he likes. He wants that they are obeying him alone and not another. And the people of God has a full right to it, that his servants are pulled away from any other influence to be only be put under the influence of God. And if this was the whole purpose, then we all will soon jump as young calves. Then we will say, Lord, everything was worthwhile. We thank you with all our hearts for it. You made the beginning of the deliverance. And we will soon see the end. Don't you worry. Even if I would go with myself into the most terrible judgment, condemning me into the lowest hell, then I feel how the arm of God lifts me up and says, don't fear. I had my hand over everything, and I do what I like. Our Lord wants that his church is united under one head, and this is Jesus Christ. And we will speak about it inasmuch as this sermon is published, in which Brother Branham just speaks in outlines of the key which lies on the shoulder. You know, in the prophet Isaiah, it says, and the key lies on his shoulder. Where he opens, no one shuts, and where he shuts, no one shall open. Dear Brother Branham gives the comparison and says, Christ is the head. And for what do belong the shoulders? And then he says, the shoulders are a part of the body. And we, as the church, make up the body of the Lord. All members on the body of the Lord must be joined together so that we can walk forward. Yes, that the shoulders of the body of the Lord carry this divine authority by faith in a true heart, because Jesus Christ is, of course, a divine reality. He is risen. His word is the absolute truth. Under his word, everything must submit. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. Now, you might say, oh, this refers to him, beloved. Already today, I want to emphasize it. This refers to him in its entirety. And in the entirety of God, the body is included. Christ is the head. Without all the members which are joined together as a body, it's not complete. It's not perfected. Everything must be put together. At the end of days, there must be a church which carries the commission of God on her shoulder with divine authority. And nothing may miss, nothing may lack, because God has spoken. I will restore you all things. In the beginning, the church was with this divine authority. When we count the Lord faithful and true, then it must be the same at the end. Not that somebody would say on himself, oh, Now I have a task. And it was last Wednesday in the morning at 10 o'clock, an American preacher came to me and said, "Brother Frank, I am the absolute authority as the pastor of the church." And I thought by myself, a young man, I don't know whether I would entrust him my flock of cows to him. And this man says, "I am the absolute authority in the church as pastor." Oh, in my heart, it was raging. I didn't speak it out. I just thought, "Precious brother, if you would be a true shepherd of a church, then you wouldn't say as Peter, as a dictator ruling, but as the Lord said, 'Feed my lambs.'" How often we emphasized it. The shepherd of a church has the rod, yes, but not for the sheep, but for the wolf. When the wolf comes, he gets the rod. The sheep are kept safe. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, give them to eat. Beloved, we don't need a human authority. We need divine authority in the overall church of the living God. How many of you count that it will take place and that God will have a church in the last days without spot, without wrinkle, submitted to his head? And not one will claim something. All will make the demand together, namely to receive the promises of God, which until the last ones will be fulfilled. Not one promise will remain unfulfilled. From Ephesians 1, I wanted to read. I'll just read quickly from chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, what? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here, it's just about, to me, Paul, as such a great man of God, speaks of the mystery which through the ages remained hidden, but then it was revealed. This mystery is Christ in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, not only as a theory, but as a living and quickening reality, as truth and as one leading into all truth, reality. One can say quickly, Christ dwells in my heart, but then also the effect must be seen and must be heard. Paul was acquainted with the mystery of Christ. He could say, Now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. And the same I want to say. We want to enter the pearly gates. We want to be part of it when the Lord Jesus returns to take his own home. And to this is it's not enough that we act a bit piously. For this it's not enough that we visit services, but that we believe God, that we experience God, that we are changed on our inside, that we become partakers of the divine nature, that Christ by faith can dwell in our hearts. And if he took dwelling in us, then it is his quickening power, his overcoming, his victory power, his resurrection power, his saving power, his healing power, which then flows through us. And this we want, that everything what God was in Christ, that Christ can be in you and in me, without efforts. Nobody needs to make efforts to it. I think if we refrain to make efforts and say, just Lord, I tried it so many times and I failed. Now I want that you do it in me and through me. I am available for you. I believe, as the scripture has said, now rivers of living water will flow. Now the power of the word and of the blood and of the spirit will be manifested. By faith, we want to bring God the opportunity that he can do it. Let me in closing bring the comparison. God brought Israel back into the land of promise. But God did not build one house in Israel. This all the people built who returned. He didn't once plow. He didn't once sow. He not even was milking the cows. He didn't empty the beehive once. God has given the promises. And the people to whom the promise belongs, he brought them back into the land. And has given them divine wisdom. So that they can do everything. So that the given promises can come to fulfillment in this land. The same is with the New Testament church. We have been brought back. But you never saw God standing on the pulpit. You didn't see him laying hands on the sick. You didn't see him praying for the sinner. You didn't see him visiting the sick. All the ministry, the carrying out of the commission of God, it was handed over to the church. This we have to take over this divine responsibility, and we just have to say, Lord, what do you want that I do? And the strange thing is, to the Jewish people, nobody needs to say what they shall do. They also don't ask anyone. They just do it, because they know what must be done. When they see the desert, the wilderness, they They understand water is needed. They know precisely how everything shall be done. And when it was explained to us from the River Jordan, a whole nation is served with water. And the Jordan starts in a huge mountain range. Oh, how we had to think about the smitten rock from which the water went forth. And what we were told, where there's no water, there's no life. Is this not wonderful? Water, sun, the field is here. And then it's prepared. And already it can be sown. God made everything available. And the Great Commission says, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. The Lord never said, go and I will do it. He is with us and he does it through us. And if we understood what God already said in the Old Testament, I think it's in Leviticus 21, verse 8. There it speaks of the priest. And it says, it is him who gives out the food of his God. I'm the one who sanctifies him. God is at work. He prepares the church for the last task. And we must clean up with all to and fro, closing the ranks, standing in for one another, in prayer and whatever goes with it, and saying, Lord, you put us together for a specific task. This task we want to fulfill now. And suddenly, everyone will know where he shall get to work. May God give us a mighty outpouring of his Spirit by his grace. The water comes. Water must come. The Spirit must be poured out. One can have the best seed, and if it is being sown into the sand and never gets moisture, then one sowed it in vain. But God takes care for everything. He in Christ, Christ in the church, Christ the head, we the members, the executing organs by the commission of the living God, with the word from John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Who bears the fruit? The fruit is on the branches. The vine gives the life from the roots up into the branches. They bear the fruit. May the Lord prune us so that we bring forth more fruit, circumcising our hearts so that we become new men by the grace and by the power of our God, and then equipped with this divine power to be able to carry out the commission. I am convinced God will help us. We are in the divine land of promise, and the Lord will take care of it, that everything will be made well according to his word and according to his will at his time, in his name. I am convinced of it, 100%. The Lord did not speak in secret. It is accessible for everyone who want to hear it. And he gathers his own. And they are sitting at his feet and are hearing the words of his mouth. May as the mystery of God was manifested in Christ, may the mystery of Christ be manifested through the church. Our Lord could say at that time, not I do these works, but the Father who dwells in me, he does his works. Then also we will be able to say, not we are doing these works, but the risen Lord who lives in us, he does his works. Would this not be nice if we could watch how the Lord does his works and we will watch it? We will be eyewitnesses of what God promised us. This is as the earthly speak, as the natural people of God, they saw it. So also we will see it with our own eyes that God's word will be fulfilled into the most little thing, fulfilled in all of us and through us by his grace. Thanks be to God for the last speaking of the entire message. Thanks for his prophet whom he sent to bring us again unto the right path, to reveal the hidden things and to lead us into the mysteries of God. After the leading into all the mysteries of God, now at the end, as at the beginning, Christ as the main mystery shall be manifested through us. What good would it be for us if we would know all the mysteries of God and Christ as the mystery of God could not be manifested through us? Now, after the revelation and the introduction into all the mysteries of God, Christ as the mystery of God wants to summarize everything in the church and bring it forth again, manifesting it. You and I, we shall have and we will have part in it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Perhaps we sing "Just as I Am." Let us open our hearts. Let us remain in silent prayer before God. Should the Lord have spoken to someone, feel free. Make your decision in the presence of God for him. He loved you. Yes, he loved you. And he died on the cross of Calvary to atone the sin, to forgive the sin, to settle the account with the past and to give a new life by his grace. This is reality. Although this divine life, we have it in an old body and groaning, we are groaning in it with all the creation. And we are waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. When it will be revealed, then we shall be like our Lord and Savior. All the redeemed will be changed into the image of the Redeemer. We will be as he is. And we will see him. Hallelujah. Dear heart, should you not have yet certainty to be a child of God, to have received forgiveness, to have been born again today, receive it as a gift from God, which the Lord gives you. Don't reject him. He calls you. As all the heads are bowed, as all eyes are closed, and all hearts are open, I would like to ask whether somebody would like to raise his hand, testifying that he wants to dedicate his life to God. Do it now. Thank you. God the Lord has seen all the hands. He knows who we mean it, how we mean it. It's still the time of grace. He calls. He calls you today. Come. Jesus is tenderly calling today. Jesus is tenderly calling today. While he invites you and calls you, Jesus is tenderly calling you today. Come home. Come to him and consecrate your life unto him. He forgives all your guilt. He crowns you with loving kindness and with mercy. How many have a prayer request for himself or for others? Doesn't matter what kind of. Raise your hand. God bless you. Many hands are lifted up. Can you believe that the Lord is honored by this, by letting these prayers, by answering these prayers, giving what we asked for? Let us now pray together. Heavenly Father, you are a living God. We don't need to cry, to shout. You are not deaf. Your eyes are open upon your people, which you purchased with your blood, which is under the sound of your word, receiving your spirit, and who got your name revealed. Lord, reveal yourself now through us and in us and in all them whom we now remember in our prayers. We believe that you are doing it. Faithful God, before we speak out our requests, you know them already precisely, but we nevertheless bring them to you, because it is written, ask, and it shall be given to you. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Faithful Lord, we are knocking now, and we ask now together for us, each one, personally, and for all who you have laid on our hearts. O God, confirm your word and glorify your name by answering our prayers, ascending them to your throne, answering them and confirming them by your answer that you answered them. We thank you for the saving of the lost, for the healing of the sick, for the deliverance of them who are bound. Faithful Lord, made the word of the cross be the power of God in all and through all who have heard it and who will still hear it. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Give us a childlike confidence and also prayers which, like a child, speaks to a father that they ascend to you and you will answer us. Give us also grace to recognize what you want to do and for what you wants to use each one of us. Lord, what kind of lesson we learned for us as your spiritual Israel? We learned of what we have seen on the natural Israel. A land, a couple of years ago, it was a barren land. Now it's green and it's flourishing. Lord, my God, a church which was robbed, a church which was powerless in the Babylonian captivity she was, you brought her back to manifest yourself mightily. Oh God, here we are, and we thank you that shortly we will see that all the ruined places are built up. Everything that was destroyed will stand again, because the destroyers are withdrawing and the bricklayers, they return as the prophet spoke it out. Faithful God, what shall we say to you? Our Lord, our heart is touched. Who are we that you have looked at us so graciously? Lord, may now every single one of us be comforted, be strengthened, be edified by the encouragement of your word, by your power. Thank you for your presence and for your holy and precious word. In Jesus' name, Amen.